You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
1 year of an average American's lifetime will be spent watching television commercials. Americans, on average, spend only 40 minutes a week playing with their children, but they shop for 6 hours. This culture of overconsumption and its effects is the subject of a film and a website, all exploring the epidemic of affluenza. John Graff is director of the movie Affluenza and co-author of the book Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic. He joins me from California this morning. Hello, John.
Good morning. Hi.
Now, why did you use the metaphor of a flu for your documentary on overconsumption?
Well, it probably could have been an other illness metaphor, but the idea was that this was an illness, a sickness, kind of a virus that was spreading throughout the society, I happened to see that word as a throwaway line in a magazine article when I was making the film originally, and I thought, wow, that kind of describes it, you know, this whole idea of affluence and the pursuit of greater and greater affluence being some kind of disease.
What kind of symptoms, pursuing the medical metaphor here, what kind of symptoms would you see associated with affluenza?
Well, we looked at things like shopping fever, you know, the amount that people were shopping. We looked at things like swollen, you know, you kind of get swollen glands often with the flu, so we looked at swollen expectations, how much more we want and desire. We looked at various kinds of things in the book as well, things like, and it was all kind of humorous, and dilated pupils, kids who were kind of wide-eyed for more and more stuff as a result of the targeting of them by advertisers. And then kind of the impacts of this, things like resource exhaustion, you know, what it costs in terms of resources and things to make this possible. Industrial diarrhea, and that being the things as global warming, pollution, all the other things that we put as waste into the environment for this lifestyle. And there were quite a number of other symptoms.
So, I mean, every outbreak of illness has a cause. What do you identify as the causes of the affluenza outbreak?
Well, I think it probably has some multiple causes. But we as a society in the United States particularly have really made affluence and growth the kind of god of our economy, you know, the idea that the gross domestic product was really the way we measured the health of our economy and the success of it. And then following World War II, the massive increase in advertising, targeting people, encouraging them that they simply had to have all these kinds of things to have the lifestyle. And that coupled with the power to do that through television, which certainly added to the impact of these ads. Another thing that seems to actually add a lot to it, or seems to have, is the growing gap between rich and poor, particularly in the United States, so that the bar is set higher and higher in terms of who the Joneses are and what keeping up with the Joneses means. As we get fabulously, fabulously rich people become role models and things, and yet the majority of Americans' incomes were simply not keeping pace with that in any sense.
Now, the interesting thing, I guess, about all this consumption is it's not making us happier.
That's right. Happiness has really been relatively flat, and even maybe in some years shows a downward turn, of course, particularly right now with the recession and everything. But really, there's been no significant gain in happiness overall in U.S. society since about the mid-50s, and actually something of a decline, a little bit of a decline. And that, despite the fact that we have double, triple the income and stuff in most households and most families. The other side to this is that the down impacts, the number of people who are actually actively depressed, anxious, and suffering from this in a mental health sense has increased enormously.
It's ironic, you know, because when you asked people, if you had more money, would you be happier? Almost everybody's going to say yes.
almost everybody is going to say yes, and everybody believes that things won't happen to them. If you know that if they get the money, they'll spend it wisely, and so forth. And of course, there is usually, particularly when people get money initially, there is a little bit of a bump, but things flatten out very quickly because comparisons are made, and the sort of relative comparisons, how am I doing compared to others, tend to sway people more in terms of how satisfied they feel than the actual dollar amount that they have.
Now, in the film, you focus on shopping and overconsumption as a personal and social problem. Why did you choose that approach over maybe possibly an environmental perspective?
Well, I think one reason we did that is that we felt that if we started the film, and the film is been around for a while now, as an environmental film, people would simply say, well, either I already know that, you know, I'm an environmentalist, so I know that, I don't need to know it anymore, or that's just these environmentalists, these tree huggers trying to convince me. And so we thought we needed to touch on things that were much closer to people's direct and immediate life experiences, things like debt and the spiraling and mushrooming amount of bankruptcies and things in the country, the overwork that's involved in paying for this lifestyle, the health impacts, the impacts on children, that those would get people more to say, well, I see that. I see that, how that's happening to me. And then we certainly didn't ignore the environmental implications or the justice implications, but we brought them in a little bit later.
What's the cure? What can people do if they want to initiate a change to themselves and in their communities around the issue of consumerism?
Well, there are different things. In the movie, we focus on personal things, you know, there was a growing voluntary simplicity movement, people getting together in groups and talking about ways that they could simplify, how they could share things. Not everybody needed the lawnmower on the block, you know. One could suffice, and people could share it and still get the value and the use out of it. How people could, you know, be much more careful about their spending. Books like Your Money or Your Life help people with those kind of things. Ways to try to protect your children against this virus, turning the TV off a little bit more, things like that. But to be honest, I actually think that this is a systemic problem and that we do need policy and systematic changes to try to deal with this. Now, what is happening, of course, is that with the current recession, we're, for many people, dealing with something of an issue of involuntary simplicity. And affluenza is probably receding a little bit with the recession. Some of that, for people at the very bottom, has been extremely hard. But actually, for many people, there's a sign that there are some positive gains. In the United States, health, for example, has gotten better. Overall, in the last 2 years, our savings rate has climbed from zero to about 6% in the last 2 years, and people are actually thinking more about friends and family and other things and less just about the bucks.
I hadn't heard that statistic that health has gotten better over the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's quite significant, and it actually happens, at least in the U.S., but also in most other industrial countries. Every time you have a recession, health improves. Every time you have an economic boom, health gets worse. The reason is that during recessions, people end up having a little more time. Working hours are down. We see furloughs and things in the U.S., and they have a little bit less money. And as a result of that, they smoke and drink less. They eat out less with fattening and high-salt foods. They spend more time with friends and family. They actually exercise more. In the United States, we're seeing people volunteering more. They drive less, so bicycle sales in the U.S. are up while car sales are down. People are driving less, and the traffic death rate is down by about 20%. And also asthma and air pollution deaths are down because we're driving less, and also factories are producing less. So there are a number of factors that actually lead to health getting better during downturns. And that doesn't mean that we want to see 10-15% of unemployment rate, because that's really, really hard on the people who lose their jobs. But I think when we do return closer to full employment, we want to somehow preserve these gains in health.
Where are those headlines that say health improves during recession?
They're not there. And it's a good, it's a very good question, because I ask that question to audiences when I speak. you know, what do you think? Has health gotten better or worse? And invariably, 90%+ of the hands that go up thinking that it's gotten worse, but that's not the case. There are stories out there. A Time magazine, at least Time.com, had a good story in August about this, but mainly the mainstream media hasn't picked up on this. It picks up on the, of course, the bad news. There's a slight increase in suicides, for example. That's not good news among unemployed people, and it picks up on the hardships that are there. But it seems to ignore completely both the savings gains, the volunteer gains, and the health gains that we're seeing.
Now, you're currently involved in a project to encourage people to take back their time.
Right.
What connections do you see between overconsumption and a sense of, I guess we could call it, time poverty?
Well, the desire to consume more and more stuff, of course, means that we need to produce more and more stuff, and we need to work more to do it. Now, we see gains in productivity always in the workplace. Technology means that we can make more stuff in less time. But we need to trade some of those gains for time to spend with friends and family, to take care of our health, to take care of our communities and our environment, and not spend all of those gains in productivity on more stuff. We have put all of that into producing more stuff. And the other thing is, as we have allowed the gap between rich and poor to grow more and more, the average workers have not seen their wages go up very much, but there's an awful lot more stuff out there to buy. And in order to get it, what they've done, essentially, is to work more hours, to have more people in the family working, and to go into credit card debt, because they haven't seen their incomes rise commensurate with this increase in production. So all of that catches them up in a cycle of overwork and overspending that is not a good thing for them and for their health. And that's what we're encouraging people to really think about, because it's, and so Take Back Your Time, our organization, is saying, what we're really losing in this high consumption lifestyle is time to take care of these other aspects of our lives beyond stuff. And we need to fight to get this back, particularly in the United States. It's far less of a problem in Europe, where people have long vacations, where they have shorter work weeks, where they already have made some of these trades.
Well, I know that today, I believe that today is Take Back Your Time Day.
It is, yeah. Well, and it's also 350 Day. It's the day where activities all over the world and demonstrations are going on regarding global warming, with the idea that we need to bring the carbon output into the atmosphere below 350 parts per million in order to deal with global warming. And one of the ways that we can do that is, again, to trade productivity for time instead of stuff. If Americans, for example, reduce their working hours to European levels, we would almost automatically decrease our energy use and our carbon footprint by 20% to 30%.
Well, it's a busy day for you, I know, and I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, my pleasure, and good luck with your fundraiser.
Thanks. I've been speaking with John DeGraff. John is the director of the movie Affluenza and co-author of Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic.